November 1st meeting to order. And Tui, you're recording. Is that correct?
Yep. I set it to automatically record. So you're set.
Oh, great. Perfect. So calling the meeting to order, our first item on the agenda is approving the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move.
Okay, I second that. If there is no discussion, all those in favor of approving the minutes say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
The minutes are approved. The next item on the agenda is our loan portfolio for today. We've got three loans at a little over $2.5 million. I move to approve the loans.
Did you move, sir? Sorry.
I did. I did move to approve the loan. Yep.
I second.
Great. Been moved and seconded. Rich, looks like our bread and butter today, but please shine a light on what loans we're looking at.
Thank you, Sarah. I think these are some good bread and butter loans. You know, number one is a loan to Sun Prairie to finance street construction and development incentives. Unfortunately, I'm out in Denver right now and don't have the files in front of me, and so I forget the details about those development incentives offhand. But if you would like those details, we can certainly get them to you. Liberty Grove in Door County is one of a number of towns in Door County that is looking to finance fiber to home. And they're doing this money here finances an engineering study to look at the feasibility of that project in that town. And then the city of Seymour is refinancing a note for a land purchase. And again, off the top of my head, I don't remember what that land purchase was used for. Tom, do you remember?
If I'm not mistaken, Rich, I thought that was for development, that in essence, some people were selling it to the city, and the city was immediately going to refinance the sort of a land contract obligation with us.
Right. The family or the couple that is selling the land to the city of Seymour wanted payment for that land over a period of time. And so they structured it as a note.
What's going on? Hello?
Doug, we're talking about the loans right now.
Yep.
Hey, what's happening?
Doug, we called the meeting to order and we're now on approving the loans. And so Rich is walking through the three loans that we're looking at for today.
Okay, well, you didn't wait very long. I had trouble getting my computer to turn on. Okay.
Well, we're glad you're here, Doug. Okay, Rich. Can you continue? Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I'm pretty much done with the loans, Doug. I was just talking about the loan number three, which is to the city of Seymour to finance a land purchase that they will be paying off over the next few years. And that's all I have on the loans for today.
Okay.
Any questions for Rich?
I'll move adoption of those three loans then.
Yeah, it's moving in second. So if there's no more questions or debate, all those in favor of approving the loan, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Doug.
Right. The loans have been approved. There is no old business. And moving on to new business, it's our quarterly investment report. And so everyone should have received the reports in the packet. So Rich, I will turn it back over to you to walk through the great performance of the Common School Fund.
Thanks, Sarah. I'm going to try to keep this short and sweet today, but please ask any questions as they might come to mind. You know, financial markets remained extremely volatile in the third quarter. The Fed continued to fight inflation by hiking short-term rates, and the benchmark 10-year Treasury finished up over 0.75%. In the U.S., both stocks and bonds ended about 5% lower through September 30th, while global stocks were down another 10%. Our funds performed somewhat better than these benchmarks. Not including about $50 million in third quarter additions to the Common School Fund principal, which we received through unclaimed property and fines and forfeitures in Q3, our fund value declined by around 3%. You know, it's a little difficult to say that a loss of 3% is good news, but when looking at how the market performed, we did okay. The better news is how the decline in asset prices failed to impact our distributable income. In fact, you know, I think it's fair to say that the investment policy and diversification plan approved by the board and implemented by the investment committee over the last several years is starting to hit its stride. Remember that in 2021, we distributed a record regular distribution amount of $40.6 million. A few weeks ago, we announced that the Common School Fund distribution next year would increase another 28% to a total of $52 million. Now let's take a look at the portfolio report on page 5 and focus on the bottom right-hand corner. This is the first time that this report has shown a projected annual income over $60 million. I'm gonna repeat once again that we have to be careful how this number is used. You know, this is a projection based on a snapshot in time. And as you know, markets can change pretty fast. Our development of income streams from several different asset classes, which you can see in the far right-hand column of this chart, has helped to insulate distributable income from market fluctuations. Given that, you know, this projection does not mean we will be distributing $60 million anytime soon, but climbing into record territory is a very good sign for future distribution. The primary reason for this increase in projected distributions, you know, that from the number we saw last quarter, is an increase in our private debt investments. We believe that the higher yields and lower volatility available in this asset class will continue to create momentum as another $70 million in commitments are funded over the next 6 to 12 months. Are there any questions before we move on to the asset allocation report on the next page?
Not from my end, thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's been a long road since we were provided with the ability to implement prudent investor standard in 2015. We had no funding available for a consultant to help with the development of a newly required investment policy. And staff worked long hours over dozens of drafts before the first policy was approved by the board in November of 2016. The need to maintain strong distributions required a prudent and thoughtful approach to diversifying trust fund assets, a process that is required under the prudent investor standard. Delays in our ability to access private real estate and debt funds, followed by the inevitable wait for managers to call these commitments, were additional hurdles. But now we're getting close. If you look at the columns titled Potential Allocations and Target Allocations, we are zeroing in on these newly established targets. In the bottom section of this table, you'll note that we expect another $110 million to be called into our private fund commitments. And as mentioned, we expect a number of these calls to happen over the next 6 to 12 months. With cash reserves lower than $60 million, we wanted to raise liquidity to meet these commitments while also reducing portfolio risk and bringing our allocations closer to their targets. The most immediate risk comes from further Fed action and a potential recession on the horizon. These risks continue to impact our publicly traded fixed income assets. One part of our plan included the prudent sale of about 50% of the current overweight in both taxable state muni bonds and corporate bonds. The strategy with state muni bonds was to sell individual bonds that have lower coupons and shorter maturities. This strategy had three important effects. By selling bonds with shorter maturities, we reduced potential losses because these assets would be priced near par. By selling bonds with lower yields, we increased the average yield on the remaining bond portfolio. And we currently have the potential to reinvest these funds into other fixed income assets, including state trust fund loans, that pay significantly higher coupons than the bonds selected to be sold. Minor losses would quickly be made up from higher interest payments received on new assets. We completed transactions about $12 million late last week. We also decided to sell 50% of the current overweight to corporate bonds, which amounted to about $40 million. Our corporate bond assets are invested through ETFs and include high yield bonds, which is an asset class that is not expected to perform well over the short to medium term. Recession risks have the potential to increase corporate bond defaults at the same time interest rates impact underlying bond values. These sales transactions were completed yesterday. In addition, we sold all shares in our passively managed real estate ETF, part of the Common School Fund domestic equity portfolio. The Common School Fund acquired these ETFs prior to our commitments to the private real estate funds. We no longer needed to have exposure to commercial real estate through the public stock market, and we believe that private fund investments will remain much less volatile than the publicly traded ETFs that are invested in the same industry. The next step will likely include our initial commitments to the infrastructure asset class over the next few weeks and months. The investment committee has been looking quite closely at several private infrastructure funds. Infrastructure is expected to add yet one more asset class that will provide good yields with stable growth. Infrastructure also includes strong protections against inflation and a low correlation with other asset classes. And as we close in on our target allocations, you can see we've been making great progress. With record distributions expected well into the foreseeable future, the investment committee is looking forward to working for trust fund beneficiaries of today and also of tomorrow. And that's about all I have for today. Are there any questions?
Nope, that's good.
No questions on my end. Doug and Josh, do you have any questions about the report?
No, thank you for the update.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rich. We appreciate it. And I think it's also just, again, the way that the fund has, we've continued to diversify the fund to, I think, even show that inflation and different impacts on the market, yes, it does have some impact on the portfolio at large, but not even with our distributions, which is really terrific to know that the resiliency of the fund through kind of the last year has been pretty solid. So that's really good.
That's exactly right. Thank you.
All right. Well, if there's no questions for Rich, do you have anything, Rich, for your Chief Investment Officer's report? I mean, you did just share a lot, but I don't know. There might be anything else you want to add, Rich?
You know, Sarah, I can't really think of anything at the moment, and I didn't prepare anything for that section, but we'll catch you in a couple of weeks. How's that?
Okay. We just won't bet on the Packers moving forward. I got it. Okay. Thanks, Rich. Tom, the Executive Secretary's report.
Thank you, Sarah. I just wanted to follow up on Rich's report, and thank Rich, and thank Denise, and thank the board for everybody pulling together to get us to this point. You know, every once in a while, it's good to take a look around and see how far you've come. And this has been an amazing transformative journey. When you think about in 2015, how we were invested just in fixed income, and to get to where we are with no additional budget, no additional staff, just being able to utilize the skill sets of the people here and our resources more effectively, and with the encouragement of the board to get us across the hurdle of getting outside counsel to help us get into the private investment funds has put us where we are today. It didn't happen magically. It took a lot of those pieces together. And now, as we're poised to make record distributions, not only this coming year, but in the years to come, it feels great to see the fruits of success that have come from all that hard work. So hats off to everybody. On a completely different issue, we closed the transaction with the Lac du Flambeau today, and I'd again like to thank the board and staff for making that transaction a reality. And I'd especially like to recognize Micah Zeitler, our real estate specialist, for his work in getting it to that point. And I'd like to recognize a former employee of BCPL, Randy Bixby, who was our archivist, who had done a lot of the research over the years that made it easier to put together the complicated story into a palatable, understandable narrative for the transaction. So hats off to everybody. It was a great transaction. It feels wonderful to have that done. And finally, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, it appears that the U.S. Forest Service may have finally decided it's time to get serious about getting this transaction closed. And so they are talking seriously about getting the transaction closed in the month of November. I don't have a firm date yet, but now we're starting to see documents be circulated that would be executed. So I remain hopeful. That transaction is important to us for a number of reasons. It obviously cleans up a lot of our inholdings so that we would have less boundary line work. It provides timber harvesting opportunities, and it also provides opportunities for carbon credit sales. So all of those things are important to us, and I'm hopeful that we can get this across the finish line this November. And frankly, when that happens, I think I may be celebrating quite a bit. So, I will be contacting commissioners for signatures, hopefully sometime this month. And that's my report.
Thank you, Tom. Josh or Doug, any questions for Tom?
Nope, thank you.
So just moving on to my report, I'm gonna keep it brief today. But as you all will recall, I met with with Jill Underley, who is the DPI, lead for DPI. And part of what we talked about was our noteworthy distribution for this upcoming year. As Rich pointed out, we'll see just within 1 year, and even during a relatively tumultuous financial time, the fund will have increased by 28%, which will be providing a special or a distribution of $52 million. And schools are thrilled to know that this is coming. And so we are going to make a formal announcement about this on November 17th. So Emma from my office has been working with each commissioner's point of contact, with Jess and Doug in your office, and Ashley, Josh in your office. So we will be formally announcing this record-breaking distribution and talking about the diversification and the work that went in to get us there, but also the impact that we know this will positively have on our public schools, particularly books and technology for our public school libraries. But that will be on November 17th at 11. And Emma will continue to work with each office's point of contact on the run of show. We do know that in addition to commissioners and Jill Underley, that we will be having the head of WMTA, Tina, who will be speaking. And we expect public school teachers and leaders to also be present at that announcement. So I think it'll be a really nice coalition. As we share this exciting news in November, so any questions on that?
No, that's wonderful.
Okay. Great. Wonderful. Well, that is it for my report. Any other items? All right. Seeing none, I move to adjourn our meeting today.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Sarah. Our meeting's adjourned. Thank you, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your week.
Have a good week, everyone.
Bye-bye.